Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you this morning in Jesus' name. It's exciting to be here this morning and worship the Lord with you all. I was really blessed with the last two stanzas in 8:47. I think the last verse here is referring to the great day of the Lord when He returns. But I thought the last two stanzas and the last verse there we could refer that to today too. It says, "Then let me hear Thy voice and change this earthly frame, and bid me rejoice with those who love Thy name." I trust that can be our heart this morning. Well, I've seen this week that I sort of struggled with knowing what to share. And as I was reading, I come across Acts 10 here and just felt led to read through that and see what we can learn from that. I realize it's a large chapter and we'll only be scratching the surface, but I trust that we can learn a few things from there. So if you want to turn your Bible to Acts 10. Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer here before we begin. Yes, Heavenly Father, as we come before You here again this morning, Lord, and with trembling hearts, and Father, we're thankful, Lord, for allowing us to gather in this way, Father, and Lord, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to worship You, Lord, and to look into Your Word and see what You have for us. And Lord, I do just pray now that You will be with the few thoughts here that I have. And Lord, we do pray that You would, that Your Word, Lord, could speak for itself, Lord, and that the things that I have to say wouldn't hinder that, Lord, but that You would speak through Your Word. Lord, would you just take any of the faults or the interruptions that I have, Lord, and not let that be a distraction, Father. We pray that You will be with us here. In Your worthy name we pray, amen. So let's just read through Acts 10 here. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see here in verse 1 that Cornelius was from Caesarea, which is along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And Joppa, where Peter was staying, was about 30 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So Caesarea was about straight north of Joppa along the coast there. Caesarea was straight north of Joppa. They were about 35 miles apart from each other. We see here in verse 1 that he was a Roman centurion, which would mean that he was a captain of about 100 soldiers that were under his command. We see here it says that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. The meaning of the word devout here, from what I could find, is godly. Is the literal translation of that. If you stop and think about that, it really is amazing. Here you have this Gentile in the middle of society living a godly life. He had the fear of God, along with all his house, it says. He gave much alms and prayed always. By giving much alms there, I believe it means that he was concerned about his neighbors and those that were less fortunate. I believe these 4 points that we have here in verse 2, many years later, even in our time, they're still very important points as we think of living a godly life, having the fear of God, and being concerned with those that have need, and having a life, a prayer-filled life, are all very important things that we should strive for. And then, just as I thought of Cornelius here and his prayer, I had to think of the verse in James 5:16, where it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed." And then the last part of the verse, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In Cornelius' prayer here, he truly did reach to God with his prayers. You can be sure that his prayers were coming from a sincere longing to know more of God and what he wants for my life. Speaking of Cornelius there. In verse 3, he has a vision. And this doesn't seem just to be a little, maybe what we would think of as a dream in the night type of thing. But it says that when he looked on him, speaking of the angel, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he was almost as if he was expecting something, because he said, "What is it?" with a question there. And I had to compare that with the chapter before, in chapter 9 there, where Saul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't. He wasn't of the frame of heart and mind to say, "What is it?" He was more scared, it seems. Both were zealous, talking of Paul and Cornelius there. But the one was just zealous for the wrong things. But may that be our reply when we feel the Lord desiring to show us something, whether it be through His Word or through a message, or maybe a brother. What is it that the Lord is trying to show me? Totally yielded to His will. The angel goes on to tell him there why he came. That thy prayers and then alms are come up for a memorial before God. First of all, are my prayers that of a righteous man, as I was thinking of the last part of that verse in James there, or are my prayers hindered by something that is in my life? Thinking of what the angel told him there, that his prayers and his alms are come up before God. Secondly, am I laying up treasure in heaven with my resources? As I go through life, why we have the options of spending all of our resources on this life and on ourselves, or we have the option of laying up treasure in heaven, as Jesus said there in the Gospels. Cornelius sends some of his servants to Joppa immediately in obedience there to what the angel told him to do. He sends some of his servants immediately to Joppa to find Peter. He had no hesitation. He had complete trust in the Lord. We skip on down a few verses. We find Peter here in Joppa. He is going to pray at the sixth hour, which would be around noon, I think. Peter also seems to be a man of prayer. and says as he went there to pray that he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and a vessel descending from heaven, wherein were all manner of beasts, creeping things, and fowl of the air. There is a command for Peter to rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter disagrees here and says, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And as I thought of this, I had to think that we probably struggle to comprehend how big the gap was there between the Jews and the Gentiles and what this sounded like to Peter when he seen this vision. It seems that Peter really struggles with what he was told to do here. In verse 16 there, it mentions that it was done three times before the vessel was again received up again into heaven. And then it says in verse 17 that now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision that he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry from one Simon's house and stood before the gate. In the next few verses here, the Spirit prompts Peter to go down and go with the men that Cornelius sent. In verse 21, he tells the men that I am he whom ye seek. They then tell Peter who sent them and why they were there. In verse 23, it mentions that he lodged them for the night. And I had to think that that was also probably very uncommon for that day for a Jew to lodge Gentiles from just with the gap that was there, the racial difference there that was there between them. I think it is important that we at least realize a little how hard this was for Peter to receive these men like this and then go with them back to Caesarea was going to cause some questioning, to say the least, by the other Jews and his fellow disciples. The next day, Peter goes to Caesarea and meets Cornelius. In verse 25, Cornelius falls down and worshipped him. But in verse 26, Peter stood up and said, "I myself also am a man." Take note here how both men here were very humble. Cornelius could have viewed himself for who he really was, a centurion, part of the Roman government, and someone that had authority. His attitude could have been, "Let's hear what this Peter has to say to us." But instead, he was very humble and broken. Peter also could have been thinking, "Well, I'm a Jew coming to teach these Gentiles," but he didn't. Both of them treated each other as equals. And I think that it's important, whether it be if we're reaching out to someone outside of the church, or if we're relating with someone in the church, in the brotherhood, we should esteem the other higher than myself, not come across as someone with all the answers. On down at the end of verse 28, it says, "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Just in reference there to treating each other as equals. To be able to overcome any better than thou attitudes that we have, I believe would be very helpful in our relationship with our brothers. I found it interesting that in verse 27 it says that Peter found many that were come together. They were come together there to hear what Peter had to say. Cornelius, while he sent them in to find Peter, had in the meantime he had gotten a group of people together and they were expecting to hear from the Lord when Peter returned. On down in verse 33, the last half, it says, "We are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." This was Cornelius talking to Peter. I think that should be our mentality when we gather to seek the Lord, that we have open minds and hearts, and that we lay the things of this life aside, and that we can truly have a desire that God would show us what He has for us. May we have that kind of desire for the Word of God. Peter went on in the rest of the chapter there, and he preached the gospel to them, how that Jesus was crucified, was buried, and rose again. So that at the end of verse 43, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. This was the gospel that Peter brought to these Gentiles. Jesus crucified, He was buried, and He rose again, so that they could believe and receive the remission of sins. So I think that's the same thing that we need to take out into our workplace or wherever we are. When we feel the Spirit prompting us to speak with someone, I know this is an area that I struggle in, that we could give that word or give them a track or something that will draw them to the Lord. And that as we relate with our brothers in the church and those outside for that reason, but as we relate to those in the church, that we can truly esteem each other higher than ourselves. So that's pretty much all I have. Thank you. God bless you.